Tonight, would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews? That's where we'll be this evening, Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. I really believe tonight that God has us go to Hebrews chapter 12, and then I believe that God could work in every single heart here tonight, and God could do something incredible tonight if you will just pay attention. Tonight, we are looking at a subject that will touch everybody. This is not just for guys versus girls. This is not just for young or old. This is for every single individual. And I think you will understand as we get further into the message. But tonight, we'll be in Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read, out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Hebrews chapter number 12, and tonight I will read verse number 14. Would you follow along with me? Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Father, I need your help tonight. I believe this is where you'd have us go, but Father, I don't have the right words. I need you. Father, I understand tonight that there are already distractions that I believe that the devil wants to use to get our hearts, our minds, our focus off of you. But Father, I pray that you completely take over beginning now. I pray that you help us put our mind on you, but more specifically our hearts. I pray that if there is sin still unconfessed, that you would help us to confess it tonight. I pray that no matter how you deal in our hearts tonight, may we be desperate to follow you more than what we want. And I ask this the only way I know how, through the name and through the blood of my Jesus, amen. You may be seated. I like mystery stories. In fact, I love mystery stories. I like old mystery stories, not this newfangled stuff that has all kinds of different petty ways to take somebody out. I like the old stuff, you know, the old Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and Sherlock Holmes, and I like that kind of stuff. And when I read about those things, you know, way back then, they didn't have as much let's just call it violence for sake of clarity today. There wasn't that much violence. Usually, people took one another out with something called poison. I mean, that sounds pretty cool, especially when you study criminology and you realize that poison often is a woman's choice. Uh-oh, and did you notice there were no men cooking this week? Did you notice that? All right, so anyway, that's free. You say you would not pick on, no, because I view this very seriously. The people that cook in the kitchen, I'm thankful for them. They're taking care of the second greatest responsibility on this campsite. You say, why is that? Well, the first step is man's soul, and the second step is man's belly. So I'm thankful for that, all right? Hey, when you get into just criminology, and you read about poison, poison can be something pretty nasty. I mean, it may not taste bad, but man, it can do a number on you. I'll never forget the first time I ever witnessed poison. You say, witness it? Oh, yeah. Maybe not the way you're thinking. I mean, it was not Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. It was not that at all. But I had a good dog. My dog's name was Cody. I remember when my dad bought the dog for me, and he probably got it for free at the pound or something like that. But he brought it in, and if any of you have ever read the book Old Yeller, that was about his description. And yes, as a kid, I rode him around the yard. I know, you animal lovers, you're not supposed to do that. You'll hurt their innards. But he didn't care. Cody was a good dog. Well, we moved from the Carolinas to Virginia, and in Newport News, Virginia, it had a crazy snowstorm. Now, it doesn't snow there often, but it did that winter. We brought Cody inside the garage because it was cold. And when we did, Cody slept there for one night, and I found him the next morning. Cody had also found in the garage something called antifreeze. Antifreeze is a very destructive poison. It may do good things in your car, but it'll do terrible things in your belly. Cody found the antifreeze, and it began to destroy Cody from the inside out, and I saw him die. And as a kid, I realized, look out for the antifreeze. Because the antifreeze, although you may not see outward signs of its destruction, the inward signs are horrible. And then eventually, you see what happens on the outside. You know, when I remember what happened to Cody, I'm often reminded of Hebrews chapter 12. Because the Bible will begin in verse number 14, a verse that is often overlooked. A verse that, I'll be honest with you, I have trouble with. But when you read verse number 14 and down through the passage, it reminds me of a poison that many people have already ingested, and it is beginning to kill them from the inside out. Maybe tonight you have no idea you've already ingested this poison. But I would dare say, just in the short time of 17 years of traveling and preaching, I have learned, and just being observant and listening to stories and statistics in churches, I would dare say that over 98% of God's people have already ingested the poison mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12, and very few of them will get the antidote. When you read Hebrews chapter 12 in verse number 14, did you notice what the Bible says? The Bible says in verse number 14, follow peace with all men. When I read that, I'll be honest, my flesh wanted to take my Bible and shove it in the back of a library and never pull it out again. I read that and I thought, are you serious? You mean I have to be peaceable to every single person I meet? You mean that I have to be good with everybody? You mean that I have to have a good relationship, or at least be at peace that God offers, that we talked about on Monday night, between my soul and theirs? And if I am not right with man, do you mean I can't be right with God? Yes, that's what the Bible says. He says, follow peace with all men. And then he says this, and this will be a help to us later. He says, and holiness. That's not something you can manufacture. You can't be holy enough to help you be at peace with everybody. You can't do that. Then why would he even say that? Why would he say that you need to be at peace with people? Because if you're not at peace with people, other people will never see Jesus inside of you. Did you notice the next verse? Want to go ahead and read it now. He says in verse number 15, he mentions something called bitterness. Would you follow along with me? Verse number 15. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby, then notice what it says, many be defiled. Now, usually when I mention the word bitterness, instantly over 85% of the people listening shut it down. So let's change it tonight, because I dare say no one starts out to be bitter. But do you know what bitterness is? Bitterness is what happens to you when you do not deal with your hurt God's way. All right, we've just changed the word. Now it's not bitterness, it's hurt. So let's just shoot straight. Have you been hurt? I've been hurt. Have people hurt you? Have people said things about you? Have people done things to you? Sadly, some of you, the hurt that you have experienced in life was done to you by people that should have loved you. People that at one time said they loved you. And you are thinking, are you crazy? You mean people that hurt me, all of a sudden I have to be at peace with them? Just hold on. If you in any way think tonight that I am going to tell you that you need to just get over your hurt, you are farthest from the truth. For tonight, in no way, does God anywhere in the Bible tell you to get past your hurt. You need to understand that. You need to understand that at no time does God look at your hurt and say, tough it out. He never says that. I've heard preachers say that. God doesn't. At no time does God say, oh, you've been hurt, that's okay, I was hurt more. He doesn't say that. But God cares about your hurt, because God cares about you. And tonight, if you do not understand the truths of this passage that want to help you, you may set yourself up for failure later in life. He says this in verse number 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Then he says this in verse number 15. Looking diligently. Then he says, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Let's just deal with this. Did you know that there is something called hurt that will grow into a root and eventually choke out the fruit? Let's explain it more simply. If you do not deal with the hurt that's been done to you God's way, you will find that the root of your hurt will trouble you. In other words, some of you already tonight, you have begun to think of a name of somebody that did you wrong. Some of you have been hurt physically. Some of you have been hurt verbally. Some of you have been hurt emotionally. Some of you live in a home where you're constantly hurt and you don't know what to do. Some of you have been hurt by people saying or posting untrue things about you. Some of you, you are living a life that you don't even know how to begin to describe it to your counselors, but you are constantly facing some kind of abuse and some kind of hurt, and you don't know if you could even tell anyone. Get this. There is help for your hurt. There can be healing for your hurt. But before you can get to your healing, you must understand that if you do not deal with your hurt that is legitimate, the Bible way, your hurt will begin to bother you. The names that some of you have already thought about, the people that said something about you that was false, the people that told a secret and now it's out, the people that they would abuse you or misuse you, those people, understand this. God does not want to change them tonight. He wants to change you. And if you are more concerned tonight about them than about you, you have already begun to drink the poison. Because the root of hurt that is not torn out will begin to choke the fruit. When I was a kid, my parents had a garden. Now, that didn't last long because they realized that trying to put three boys to work and weed the garden didn't work when you were actually growing food in the garden. You know what that means? That means we did more eating of the fresh fruit than we did the weeding of the plants, all right? My parents said it wasn't worth it. They lost too much money. But they would often put us in the garden and they'd say something like this: pull out the roots, get the weeds out of the garden. We'd go in there, and of course, we'd be popping the cherry tomatoes, and we'd be eating the cucumbers and all of those things. Yes, raw. It's okay. It's all right. We'd be eating those things while we're trying to pull out the root of the weed, and it really wasn't getting anywhere. We'd find out that we'd have to go out by the end of the week and pull all those weeds out again. Finally, my mom came out, and she said, let's see how you're doing. You know what we were doing? Many of you know this. We were pinching the leaves off and tossing it aside. We were never digging into the root of the weed and yanking it out. And those of you that have any experience or knowledge of gardens, you know that when a weed springs up, it'll begin to choke the plant. And eventually, that plant will either not bear fruit or it will die. Young person, I can't tell you how many people I have met that have been so hurt, and their hurt is so troubling their mind and bothering their thinking that they can't get past it. I've talked to young people before, and they tell me something like this: Brother Glenn, I lay in bed at night,
And all I can think about is the people that hurt me. All I can think about is the people that did me wrong. All I can think about is all the wrong that's been done to me, and I don't know what to do about it. Young person, understand. You are not all of a sudden set apart because you've been hurt. Everybody's been hurt. Everybody. And maybe we could explain it this way too. You have also hurt other people. Did you know that hurt people know better how to hurt others than anybody else? Did you know that? And maybe tonight you're thinking, well, the hurt that I've experienced, no one else will ever understand. Get this. Jesus understands, and Jesus knows the hurt that you're holding on to, and Jesus says he offers a way for you to move past that hurt. But you need to understand tonight that your hurt, no matter what it is, you need to understand that if you don't deal with it, you'll never have joy in the Christian life. You need to understand that if you do not deal with your hurt the Bible way, mentioned in the next few verses in Hebrews chapter 12, you need to understand you will never be able to live in victory of the decisions you have made this week. You need to understand, as I would learn much later in life, that if I don't deal with my hurt God's way, then I am pouring a cup of poison for the person that hurt me. But instead of them taking it and drinking it, I drank it. And now it's destroying me from the inside out. I've heard teenagers say, Brother Glenn, you have no idea. You're right. I don't. But Jesus does. Notice what else it says here in Hebrews chapter number 12. It'll say in verse number 15, not only do you need to be diligent to look at your hurt, look at your hurt. Just for tonight, look at it. Look at what's been said against you. Look at what's been done to you. Look at what's been you've been going through. Some of you say, listen, I come from a broken home. Friend, that is enough hurt. Some of you, you come from homes, like I mentioned my wife grew up in, where there was constant yelling and screaming and calling each other of names and the constant threat of divorce, and then they go to church and they name the name of Christ. That's hurt. Some of you, you have been abused physically, verbally, emotionally. That's hurt. Some of you, you have gone through things that you could never describe. That's hurt. Now, what are you going to do with it? Because if you do not deal with your hurt God's way, that hurt will begin to grow. And it'll trouble you so that you keep thinking about it. And it'll keep growing till before long, you have lost your joy. You have lost your peace offered in Jesus. You can't have real victory in your Christian life. You may even probably struggle with the assurance of your salvation, because if you do not deal with your hurt God's way, you can never continue to live a successful life for Jesus. You need to understand that. But notice what the Bible says in verse number 15. Not only do you need to look diligently at your hurt, but now he tells us what happens if you refuse to deal with your hurt God's way. Unfortunately, we have to see this. Notice what he says in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 15. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, that's what we already spoke of, the root of the hurt, springing up, trouble you. And then it says this, get this, don't miss it. And thereby many be, what's the next word? Defiled. You know what the word defiled means? The word defile means it's of no good to anyone because it is corrupt. It is dirty. It is disease. It is poison. You say, well, listen, Brother Glenn. I'm not that bad. I've just been hurt. You need to understand that the root of hurt will trouble you. But if you do not deal with it, the result of hurt will defile you. That means you can't be used. That means, verse number 15, nobody will ever see Jesus through you. But they were wrong. I know. But tonight, they're not here, and God offers help for you. Did you understand from the Bible that God does know your hurt, and God does want to help you? But if you do not deal with your hurt God's way, it won't just trouble your mind. It won't just trouble your heart. It will begin to so consume you that you drunk the poison, and already it's beginning to eat your insides. For years, I've heard something as simple as pornography said, well, it's not hurting anybody. Oh, yeah, it is. It's hurting you. And it's destroying you the same way bitterness does from the inside out, and eventually it'll affect other people too. It's the same thing hurt does if you don't deal with it God's way. Bitterness. It'll destroy you from the inside out. You think it'll do no harm to you. You're just hoping that the person that hurt you will be affected, but it never works that way. Ever. I've met people that are mad at other people that hurt them, and the people that hurt them are dead. I was preaching in Rollsville, North Carolina. I was in the pulpit, and I simply mentioned how some people hate other people for the hurt that had been done to them, and those people are dead and gone, and the hurt that you're holding on to isn't affecting them. I'll never forget. A woman jumped up from halfway back in the auditorium. She was mad. She walked out the door. She hit that door. She hit that door. That door in the back of the building swung open, slammed shut behind her. Then, while I'm standing in the pulpit continuing to preach, I watch her walk out the door around the building, and I can see her window after window after window after window. Then she jumps in her car, passenger seat. She reaches over, starts the car, lights on, shining in the church window, and she goes, I have to finish my message and watch her outside. I thought, what did I say? Because I'm human. I make mistakes. I say things all the time. And my wife usually looks at me and goes, I thought, I don't think I said anything off this time. I think I was pretty clear this time. When I finished preaching, I walked to the back and I said, Pastor, what did I say? He said, oh, Brother Glenn, you were just speaking from the Bible. Now, the Bible says that oftentimes we don't deal with our hurt the Bible way. And how that many people are even mad at people that have died, and us holding on to hurts not affecting them. I said, what happened with her? She said, well, her dad hurt her. And we buried her dad over 10 years ago. And she is still mad at her dad. See, a lot of times we hold on to hurt, hoping that if we somehow hold on to it, it'll make us feel better, and the people that hurt us will eventually feel guilty. But that's not what happens. In fact, it never happens. Instead, it begins to trouble us, meaning we can't get past it, meaning all we can do is continue to think about it. We continue to remember what they did to us and what they said about us and how they hurt us. And it consumes us so that eventually it begins to defile us. And now it's not just in our thinking, now it's in our living. You say, seriously, can he give us an illustration? Sure, the Bible gives us a great one here. Notice what it says in verse number 15. It says in verse number 15, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Keep going. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The Bible gives us an incredible but yet awful illustration of a man named Esau. A man who throughout all of time will be known as a fornicator, an immoral man, and a profane person. And I'm often asked, Brother Glenn, why would God give us such an example as Esau in Hebrews chapter number 12? Because that's exactly what will happen to you if you do not deal with your hurt God's way. Young person, You may think that holding on to hurt is no big deal, but it's destroying you. Do you understand that when it talks about Esau being a fornicator, an immoral man, do you understand that when it talks about him being a profane person, someone who will not live for God, someone who lives for self, do you understand that God's giving us an example of someone who doesn't deal with the hurt the Bible way? In other words, God is saying this, if you do not deal with your hurt now, while it's troubling you, then it will so defile you that you will open the door for some of the worst sins imaginable to come into your own life. Some of you, excuse me, you're dealing with the sin of pornography. But do you know why? Some of you, you've just chosen to continue to go back to it because you were introduced to it and you need victory. But understand that others of you, one of the reasons you cannot get victory over pornography is because the heart issue is your hurt. Some of you, you act one way at camp, but you know how you act back home, and you're a profane person, someone that really doesn't live for God, someone who has their own idea of life, and then the jokes you tell, and the things that you read, and the things, places you go, and the people you hang around, they reveal that what is inside is a poison. You say, Brother Glenn, it sounds tonight like this is a big deal. It is. And no matter what teen camp I've preached at or youth rally I've been at, I am never surprised by the scores of young people who come to me after a service weeping, saying, Brother Glenn, but what I've been going through is awful! And tonight, you need to understand that if you are a victim of hurt, you do not have to dwell as a victim of hurt. I would give anything to step into some of your lives and to erase the hurt it's been done to you. But I can't do that. But tonight I can take you to a person named Jesus who loves you, knows your hurt, and he wants to heal your hurt. Young person, understand that no matter how you've been hurt, you do not have to link yourself again to the person that hurt you and continue to be a victim. If you have been hurt physically, emotionally, or verbally in an abuse situation, understand that is real. But understand, God still loves you. And you need help tonight. And you need help from God's Word, and you need help from people that can help step in and take that hurt and guide you through that hurt. You say, but no one will ever understand. You'd be surprised. It took my wife years to come to the realization that she had lived in an abusive home. And realize she was a victim. And some of you think that because you're a victim, it's your fault. But understand, Jesus loves you. And understand, he offers healing for you. But tonight, don't continue to drink the poison of your hurt. Tonight, do not allow that root of hurt to trouble you so you can't get past it, and then to defile you so you can't move on for Christ. Years ago, I was preaching in Fredericksburg, Virginia. large team rally. We had invited the young people from the public schools out because we had had a revival meeting in the Christian schools. I would dare say we had between 300 and 400 teenagers there that night around the bonfire. We were having testimony time to talk about what God had done in lives. I'll never forget. Young lady came up to me. She said, "I want to give a testimony." I was supposed to be what's called the filter. I was supposed to be the one that said, "Great, what do you want to talk about?" I wasn't paying attention. I did ask her what she wanted to talk about, but instead of finding out specifics, I just barely listened to her. I wasn't doing my job. She said, "I want to talk about what God's done for me." I said, "Great." It's pitch black outside except for the bonfire in the front of the bleachers. And it was only when she got to the microphone that I realized she was holding in her hand a 3 or 4 inch thick three-ring binder. You could tell she had been looking at this binder regularly and storing papers in it regularly. In this binder, there were papers hanging out. I didn't see it until she got up to the bonfire. And then she walked up to the mic and she said, "I've been coming to this Christian school since I was in seventh grade. And the first day here, some of you began to mistreat me and say things about me and bully me." And she said, "I'd go home that first week and I'd cry myself to sleep because Christians didn't act like Christians." She said, "I could get no relief and no one would listen. So I began to write down a journal with the date, your name, and what you did or said. And I've kept a record since seventh grade." Now she was a senior in high school. You realize how long that record has been tallying, right? Now those papers were so full. She said, "Oftentimes I'd have a bad day. I'd go back and I'd record your name or your name or your name in the book. And I'd write it down. And then, just to make me feel a little bit better, for a little bit of time," she said, "I'd open the book and I'd go back and read past entries in my journal of the wrong that had been done to me by you. And just for a little while, just for a little while, it'd make me feel better. But it wouldn't last." She said, "I'd go back day after day after day, and I'd live in my hurt." She said, "But something happened this week." She said, "This week, I realized I don't need this anymore." She said, "I found someone who was able to heal my hurt, and his name is Jesus." And she grabbed that binder, and she threw it in. Some of you may not have a written three-ring binder, but you have stored up here, and it hurts here, of the wrong that's been done to you. If you don't deal with that, that hurt will begin to trouble your mind, and then it will defile your heart. But tonight, understand, Jesus knows your hurt, and He wants to heal. You say, "Is it really that big of a deal?" Yeah, it is. And for those of you that are already checking out, you need to understand that although you won't look up here tonight, and although I can tell that you are hurting and you're thinking no one will ever understand, I won't be able to get any healing. You need to understand that no matter how you view Jesus, He still loves you and He still wants to heal you. Don't check out. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 15. It says this very clearly. Read it for yourself. "Lest any man fail of the grace of God." Did you see that? In other words, verse number 15 says this. Hey, listen. When you get hurt, you need to deal with that hurt. Because if you don't, it'll trouble your mind and your heart. And the way to deal with that hurt is to apply God's grace. But if you fail or don't apply God's grace, that hurt that's troubling you, the result will be that it defiles you. But I think tonight the writer of Hebrews would say, would you just go back and read about the remedy that will release you? Would you go back and read about the antidote to poison? You see what it says? Let's say, amen, fail of the grace of God. What is God's grace? For years, look up here. For years, I have heard this. Grace, Brother Glenn, is God's riches at Christ's expense. Okay, maybe I'm just a fool, but I get very weary of sitting in preaching and hearing definitions that I need a definition for. You with me? God's riches at Christ. What does that mean? All right, how about this? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he, are you ready? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, what does God give us? Well, he gives us a gift. What's the gift's name? His name is?
Jesus,
right? Who died on the cross for you? Wonderful. Now you go later in the New Testament and you read this verse. For by grace are you saved through faith. Is grace any different from Jesus? No. We often look at grace and we think it's something that God gives us. It's more than that, friend. Grace is not something God gives you. It's someone God gives you. God doesn't just give you a little tube of something called grace and say, here, put this on it. It'll make you feel better for a while. A couple weeks ago, we were in Texas. My girls went over to the pastor's house, and the pastor and his wife had set out a slip and slide for me. They thought it was the greatest thing in the world, especially when the dog came to play with them. But my girls found out very quickly that Texas fire ants are pretty bad. Both of my girls got in a Texas fire ant pile. Audrey got bit up over 28 times. They began to weep and wail. And finally, the pastor's wife came out with cream, and she said, put this on. This will help. You know what? They were fine for about 30 minutes. Then it started hurting again. We put more cream on. They were fine for another 30 minutes. And this continued for the next week and a half. That is miserable. Guess what? That's not what God gives you. He does not give you something just to help for a little time. He gives you someone. And if that someone was good enough for you to reach heaven through him, then that someone is also good enough to heal your hurt and to help you get past your hurt, not by ignoring your hurt, but by refocusing your hurt to the healer of hurts. Young person, did you know that Jesus already knows your hurt, but you have to still give it to him? This is not a one-time deal, yet it does begin somewhere, where you have to take the hurt that's been done to you, say, God, I don't want it anymore. I need you. I want Jesus instead of my hurt. You know, when you swap your rags for Jesus, he gives you heaven. And when you swap your hurt for Jesus, he gives you joy. He gives you peace. Young person, why are you holding on to hurt? Some of you, you're not holding on to hurt that's been done to you. You're holding on to hurt that's been done to people you love. When I was in college, I was often told, don't talk about yourself and the struggles that you've been through. I've heard great preachers for years talk about that, but then I realized that if the preachers in the Bible could talk about what God had done for them, I ought to be able to do the same. I grew up in a youth pastor's home. My daddy was a youth pastor and a music man for almost 20 years. Now he's been a pastor for almost 30 years. You say, what's the big deal? I grew up watching people who said they loved Jesus be more cruel than people that didn't know Jesus. I expect people in the world to be mean and curse and swear because they're lost. So when people in church are mean and curse and swear, it's hard to swallow. As a teenager, I saw my dad and mom go through things that no teenager should ever have to see their family go through. I watched as people jumped up in church business meetings and ripped the preacher up one side and down the other. I stood in the lobby of the church when my father was looked at face to face and his life was threatened. I have heard people that call themselves Christians, I have heard them misuse people of God, and I have heard them be so mean and so cruel, and I'll be honest, that began to trouble my mind. I had trouble as a teenager sleeping at night. I'd see those people that did wrong to my family and to my brother, and I'd see that, and I'll be honest with you, there were times I wished them dead because of hurt. That although you could never fully describe how much you've hurt to me, I could never describe my hurt to you. But young person, it began to destroy me. And I began to run from God. And I began to allow my hurt to not just trouble my mind, but I began to drink the poison of hurt that would turn into bitterness from the inside out. I began to lose my joy. I lost my fellowship with God. I lost my peace offered in the circumstances of life. I became such a miserable teenager, and I was so mad I wished people dead. Late one night, as a teenager, I got up. Everybody else should have been asleep. And I walked downstairs to get a drink of water. Somewhere in the darkness, I heard a voice. An audible voice. I began to tiptoe through the house. And I found my father on his knees. The moonlight shining through the window on my father's back. And in the darkness of the house, I listened as he somehow was able to pray for the people that I had just heard in church curse him out. He was not asking how I was asking God to deal with them. You know, he never asked God to judge them. He never asked God to give them their what we call comeuppance. He never asked God to help him understand that they were wrong. You know what he asked? He said, God, would you bless them? He said, God, would you help them? God, would you give them victory? As a teenager, I was able to witness someone who was able to take hurt and apply Jesus to their hurt. And I watched someone who was living in victory through Jesus apply Jesus to them. And I remember going back to my room in the quietness of the night and weeping before God, saying, God, if you can make Jesus that real to my father, would you make him that real to me? And he did. You say, so you've never struggled with hurt again? Oh, no. I have struggled with hurt. But I have found that when you struggle with hurt, you run back to the healer of hurts. His name is Jesus. Young person, I don't know what you've gone through. But I know Jesus does. And Jesus is bigger than your hurt. Some of you, the backgrounds you come from, I could never begin to understand. But Jesus does, because he's in control. And I know that the same Jesus that says, stop failing to apply grace, says, I am still all you need to cling to instead of your hurt. Can I say this? You cannot hold on to Jesus and hurt. But you can give your hurt to Jesus and hold on to Jesus, because Jesus is big enough to hold on to your hurt. Years ago, I heard about a teenager who grew up in a young home, in an awful home, young teenager. She didn't know how she could get through the hurt that she had been dealt. She didn't know what Jesus was that big, but she heard a preacher preach how Jesus still loved her, and how Jesus loved her enough to take her hurt. She had access to a printer and a laptop at the library. So she took her Bible to the library with her, and she began to type out every verse she could find on Jesus' love. She saved her allowance, and she used her allowance money to then print off on 8.5 by 11 size paper verses about Jesus' love. Big font, so she could read. And she quietly took that large stack of verses on Jesus' love back to her room. She closed her door, and she took those papers with the verses of Jesus' love, and she put tape on the back of those papers, and she began to re-wallpaper her room with Jesus' love. She said, "I used to be focused on my hurt, but when I gave my hurt to Jesus, I found that something else could take my hurt." Does it remove the past? No. But it helps you walk with Jesus instead of drinking the poison of your hurt. Young person, tonight, would you look up here? I can't fix your hurt, but I know who can. I can't solve your problems, but I know who's bigger than your problems. And tonight, according to Hebrews chapter 12, if you do not exchange your hurt for the grace of God who is Jesus, then you will leave camp not just troubled, but you'll be drinking the poison that will defile you from the inside out. I can attest that the Jesus who offers grace in Hebrews 12:15 is still offering grace himself for your hurt.